Good morning, Rabbi Isai. We're going to continue our discussion about the inyan of Zecher and Zecher. As I said yesterday, there are four minhagim as to how to actually do it, but we want to discuss what's the problem with the Zecher and Zecher. Point being, said the Mishnah Berurah, that we built it a Kriya de Oraisa, therefore we want to get it absolutely right. And the Shaila is, are we going to say Timche es Zecher Amalek? Or Zecher Amalek, and the Mishnah Berurah said, we have a sofik whether Zecher is more correct or Zecher is more correct. And I said that all the Mefarshim say that they're both correct. In other words, you'd be Yoitzu with both of them. But nevertheless, we want to lachatchila get it as perfect as possible because it's a Kriya d'Oraisa. And therefore, the minig is to repeat it. And as I said, there's four different minhagim. But to discuss what the inyan is, okay? So we discussed yesterday, we spoke about nouns and constructs. We spoke about a noun as an object, a thing, or something that you can refer to. And a construct is the something of, as in, bayis, a house, beis, hamedrash, the house of learning. Yeah? So, some words change from one to the other. So, and some words don't. Let's take a simple example. We're taking all very short words which are similar to Zecher. So take the word Melech. Yeah? Melech is a king. The king of the world is Melech Ho'olam. The word didn't change at all. So in the noun and in the construct form, Melech is the same. And the same thing goes with Kerem. Kerem is a vineyard. Kerem Shloimo is the vineyard of Solomon. And the same goes with the word Derech. Derech is a journey or a road. Derech HaMelech is the Derech of the king. So there it doesn't change. Similarly, if we take words which are similar to Zecher, as in words that go A-eh, yeah, they start Tzere followed by a Segol. So Emek. Emek is a valley. Emek Rephoim is the valley of the giants, or Emek Habocho, the valley of sadness, of tears. Shevet is a tribe. Shevet HaKohosi is the tribe of Kohos. And again, the word Sefer. Sefer is a book. Sefer Torah is the book of the Torah. So those don't change at all. But then you get some that do change. I found two that are similar. One is the word Zecher, which we are talking about now. Yeah, and the Mefarshim bring down that we all said today in Ashrei, yeah, Zecher Rav Tuvcho Yabiu. So Zecher is the word a remembrance or a memory. Zecher Rav Tuvcho is the remembrance of your great goodness, is the mention of your goodness. So Zecher changed to Zecher. We have another word which I found. I only found two so far, but I'm sure there are more. And that is the word Nezer. Nezer is a crown, and in Parshas Pekudei it says that Moshe Rabbeinu made, or Bezalel made, the tzitz Nezer HaKodesh, the holy crown. So Nezer changed to Nezer. Now, let's go back now to Zecher. The word Zecher means a memory or a remembrance. The memory of can either be, as we said, Zecher Rav Tuvcho Yabiu, and it changed to Zecher, but we find Psukim where it doesn't change. Because it says, for instance, L'zeicher oylom yiyeh tzadik. So there you've got Zecher oylom, or you've got Zecher Rav Tuvcho. So we can see that Zecher is different from kimat everything. Some of them change, some of them don't change, and this one has two options. The word Zecher either can change or doesn't change. Right? Zecher Rav Tuvcho means Zecher changed to Zecher, and L'zeicher oylom yiyeh tzadik means Zecher didn't change. And it became Zecher even in the something of the construct form. So now is our Shaila. Yeah? Zecher, Timche es Zecher Amalek. The Torah was given without the vowels. The Mesorah tells us that it should be Zecher, but maybe it should be Zecher, because this is a construct form. Is it like the Zecher Olam Yatzadik, or is it like Zecher Rav Tuvcho Yabiu? And therefore we try and do both. And the question is how to do the both in such a way that we're not going to ruin our lining. And that bleida will go on to tomorrow. Torreway, Northwest London, Vov Adar, the 23rd of February. Rabbi Julian Schindler Shlita, Al Tiro, have no fear. This week's Torahway has been sponsored Le'er Nishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov ben Rabbi Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovich, Zichron Levrocha. Okay, very good morning to you all. I'd like to thank in his absence Josh Frankel for inviting me to make this presentation to you this morning. There are a sheet of sources. If you haven't got access on the table there, please take one. So I'm mindful of the time of the year. We've got Parsha Zohar coming up, Purim following on from there, and I've been studying the Maharal's Pirush on the Megillah's Esther over a period of years. Just in the run up to Purim, I do a bit more. Two or three years ago. A couple of years ago, I was reading through this, and he quotes a midrash, which stopped me in my tracks when I read it, and gave me a lot of food for thought. It was just after, a few months after the October something thing, the attack from Hamas, and I just felt that it was just such an apposite midrash. I wanted to bring this to your attention, but I'm going to work through a number of things first, so you'll appreciate what's going on. Actually, after I produced this sheet, I worked out the way I was going to present this was in reverse. Mm-hmm. So we'll start at the bottom of the page, just to be contrary. And I'm sure you'll all be familiar with the fact that in many printed Sidurim, after Oleinu, there's these three verses which begin Al Tiro, which is there are many, many Sidurim have them printed, but hardly any shuls say this. I know the shuls that I go to, as soon as it gets to the end of all, it's booked straight into Kaddish Yosem. You don't hear anybody making anything out of this Al Tiro. But just... Pardon? I've never heard anybody do that. Not in the shuls that I go to. So Chabad do, and I did... look into this. I haven't got the detail, but apparently the Lubavitcher Rebbe instituted this or promoted this to be said at times when people are going through personal anguish or distress, or because at the time there were things going on in the world. The world was not a happy place. It's certainly not a happy place these days. With I don't need to elaborate on the world events and things that are going on at the moment. But so Chabad say it. I must tell you that years ago, Ralph will know this, and Yaakov as well, that I was involved quite heavily in choral stuff. As a boy in the choir, Edgeware Shul, we had a piece for Al Tiro. Samuel Alman, who was the choir master of the Hampstead Synagogue, composed a lot of synagogue music, and... there were, once in a while, we would sing, as a choir, we would sing this piece. Later, when I became the musical director of the London Jewish Male Choir, I actually arranged it for the male choir, but you hardly ever hear this song. But generally speaking, it just doesn't feature in all of these shuls, even though it's printed in there in the Sidurim. So I was interested to look into the origins of this. Let's. These three verses, say, are appended to Aleinu. So where do they come from? So if you look in the text box, you'll see that one is a quote from Mishle, and there are two quotations from Yeshaya. And they,
you know, there are similar themes, but they seem sort of quite random. Why were they chosen to be set at this place? So so if you look at the text, al tira mi pachad pis'om, don't be afraid of sudden terror, u'mishos rishoim kisovo, nor the ruin of the wicked when it comes. The second quote, utza eitzov v'sufa, the enemy may devise a strategy, but it will be thwarted. Dabridova le'yokum, they will propose a plan, but it will not succeed. Ki imonu keil, because God is with us. And the final one, v'adzikna anihu, I will, as you grow old, I will still be the same, says Hashem. V'adzeva ani espoil, and when your hair turns grey, I will still carry you. Ani osisi, I've made you. V'ani esor, I will bear you, I will carry you. V'ani espel v'amaleit, I will carry, I will rescue you. Now the ani osisi, the Talmud Forshim understand this to be seen as a reference to Golas Mitzrayim. When the Jews were, when the Israelites were redeemed from Mitzrayim, they came to Ma'amad Har Sinai. They were made into a nation. That's the reference there. Va'ani esor, and I will carry you. So some Mefarshim say this is a reference to Golas Bavel, to the Babylonian exile. Ani esboil, and I will sustain you. Va'amaleit, and I will rescue you. And this is Yeshaya prophesying the future. This is a future tense. We've had grammar this morning, so I might as well throw that in as well. He's prophesying a future exile, the exile of Rome, which of course had not happened in his time. Isaiah's in the 7th century BCE. So the basic message is, as you go through life's journey, says Hashem, I will be the same and I will rescue you. And so when trouble comes, be confident. Now, so first I can ask, what or who do we associate with the idea of sudden terror? It's Amalek. Amalek struck when the Israelites were vulnerable. And even though they had just witnessed Kriyas Yam Suf, as soon as their water supply stopped, they said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin. They doubted. They doubted God's existence, or if not his existence, whether he was still standing by them. So when doubts arise, soon after, Vayovo Amalek, Amalekites descended on them. And when faith is weak, Amalek strikes. And it says, Asher korocho baderech, he chanced upon you on the way, pounced on you, Vayzanev kalanech sholim acharecho, and he attacked the weak ones behind the columns of the people walking through the midbar. But ata oyefi ogeo, you were tired and worn out. So that Amalek struck suddenly. That also was a terror attack, and the same could be said, of course, of the Purim story, because at the opening the Jews seemed to be living in peace. Within the Persian Empire, in the times of relative comfort, Mordechai was respected for having thwarted the plot to assassinate the king. But the Jews lacked faith in their redemption, and they partook in Achashverosh's 6-month feast, which was set up to celebrate the end of Jewish history. The prophets had said that the Jews would be redeemed after 70 years. Achashverosh miscalculated when the 70 years was up. And see, aha, nothing's happened. So that's it, the end of Jewish history. And the Yidden participated in these celebrations. It was a terrible thing. And that's what gave Haman the authority to plan a genocide. So their relative comfort suddenly changed very quickly. Pis'om. This is sudden change. So, and who is driving this? Haman ben Hamadosa, Hoagogi. Haman, the son of Hamdosa, descended from Agag, who himself was descendant of Amalek. Now, the The Pirush of the Maharal comments on the text from the Megillah, and the Midrash's take on this. So have a look at the top of the page now, just to keep your minds active. We'll flit around the different parts of the page. So there's a few quotes from the Megillah, third parak of the Megillah. Vayosa Melech es tapato mial yodo. The king took off his ring of authority from his hand. Vayitna lahamon ben amdos agogi, gave it to Haman. Sore ha-Yehudim, the adversity, not the adversity.
Adversary.
The adversary, sorry, it's too early in the morning for me to think clearly. The adversary of the Jews. Vayom ha-Melech la-Haman, and the king said to Haman, ha-Kesev nosun l'cha, I've given you the money, v'ho'am, and as far as this people is concerned, la-asos, bo'k, ha-topin, do what you like to it. Vayikoru, sofri ha-Melech, v'chodesh rishon, and the scribes of the king called or proclaimed in the first month, Bishlosha Osabo, the 13th day of it, by Yikosev Kholashed Sephama, and they wrote down everything which Haman had decreed with the authority of Beshema Melech Achashvesh, with the authority of the king. Nichtov and Nechtov and Tabas Melech, it was written and it was sealed with the seal, I suppose, the king's ring. And that made it law. And they sent out letters and whatnot all around the various provinces of the king. Lahashmid, to destroy. Laharog la'abed is kol ha'yudim. Right, various terms of destruction and murder. To annihilate the Jews. Minav yad zokein. From children to the oldest, tafanoshi, bayomichot, women, infants, all on one day, bishlesh asla chodesh day maso, chodesh ador, ushalom lover. So we know that's the date that was set. Haratim yotsu de chufim vidavar melech. So these messengers went out with some urgency, according to the order of the king. And the law was propounded throughout the capital, Shushan. V'hamelech v'haman yoshvu lishtos. The king and Haman sat and drank. They are having a good time. V'ho'ir Shushan levocho. But the city of Shushan, i.e. the Jews living there, they were downcast and miserable. Now, let's just have a look now at this midrash. So this is Esther Rabo. Midrash says like this: So Nebuchadnezzar came, the first destruction of the first temple, destroyed the temple. And he exiled them from off their land. And he brought them amongst us. Because you know the way that the Babylonian exile worked was that they displaced populations from the country where they lived, because if they remained on their land, they would still have a sense of national identity, and they moved them around different parts of the empire. But Adayin lo shonim ma'aseim hamachuarim. But they still continued with despicable ways. V'yafal pishayim begolus beinenu maligin osom. But even though, so this is looking down upon the Jews, but even though they were in exile amongst us, nevertheless, they made fun of us. They didn't, and they also rejected, they made fun of our gods, whatever the pagan gods of the Persians were. Now, we're all now agreed on one thing, one objective. And we cast down lots to decide when to destroy them and wipe them out from the world. And to decide on which date exactly that they should be destroyed. And the lot that was drawn fell on in the month of Adar on the 13th day. And now, now that these letters that have been sent out around the whole of the empire, right? So all the peoples in the lands under the Persian Empire should be prepared and ready for that day. That you should destroy and kill all the Jews that live amongst you. From the youth to the elders, taf and oshim, little children and women, all on one day. Not one of them should remain, not one should escape. And when, at the time when these letters were sealed and put into law, and they were given over to Hamad, he came rejoicing, him here together with his entourage. And they happened to encounter Mordechai, who was walking before them. None of this is in the Megillah. This is all the Midrash's sort of supposition of a ma'aseh shehoyah, of something that happened. V'ro'a Mordechai, and Mordechai saw shalosha tinokos, three young children, shehoyu boy mibbeis ha-sefer, they're coming out of cheder. V'rotz Mordechai achareihem, so Mordechai ran after them. U'kesheroa Haman, v'chol chabiroso, shehoyu rotz Mordechai achareihem tinokos, and when Haman and his entourage saw Mordechai running after these children, halachu acharei Mordechai. So they followed Mordechai. Ledat ma yish al Mordechai min, to find out what would Mordechai ask them, what would be the conversation here. Kaven shehigia Mordechai eitzer atinokos, and as Mordechai approached and reached these children, sha'al le'echad mehem. So he asked one of them, "Psukli psukecho, tell me, what pasuk did you learn in school today?" Omale, so this child replied, "Altiro mipachad piso umishuas rishom kisavo." This pasuk from Mishnah that we saw before. Pasach hasheni, and then he asked the second child, "What did you learn in school today?" V'omar, and he said, "Ani korisi hayom." This is what I heard and what I learned in school today. The second verse, which is from Yeshayah. And then the third child answered, and he said, "Va'adzikna ani hu, va'adzeva ani espo, ani osisi, va'ani eso." That's the third pasuk in the box. Now, each of these verses is basically saying, at times of trouble, don't despair. Hashem is going to be with you. When Mordechai heard this, sachak, he was laughing. He was jumping around with great joy. So Haman said to him, "Mahi zos asimcha shesamachta, the divrei atinokos olalu. What's the great simcha that made you happy when you heard the words of these children? After all, by now everybody knows what's been decreed. The Jews are going to be destroyed, and so what are we going to be happy about?" Mordechai responded, "Al basoros tovos shebisruni." Because the good news that was related to me, I shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't be afraid of the evil plan that you have for us to kill us. When Haman heard this, Miyad Ko'as Haman Harosha. Haman got angry, and for Omar, and he said, when the day comes that we're going to go and destroy the Jewish people, I'm going to start with these children. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, when I read this, when I read these words, so soon after the attack from Gaza into the towns in the south of Israel, I thought this is what it is. They come out, they're home at the present day. Amalekites, they come out, they go for the children, they go for the women, they go, it's just complete destruction. We know that that is the plan, or what was the plan of the Palestinians in Gaza. Now, so I was very struck by the resonance of this passage with current events, and of course the threat is still there. Given half a chance, the Iranians and their proxies would want to wipe off Israel off the map. Now, let's also see where this Altirah passage comes from. But I want to point out in source 4, which is actually the Taz on Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Lamed Beis. And this is the end of Hilchas Tefillah. And the Taz says, Odani noheg lomer, furthermore, I mean, it's nothing to do with the bit before that he's commenting on, so I've only brought the relevant piece. He says, also, I have the custom to say, b'chol yom, every day, b'shar sh'omer ashat sim shalom, when the Shlich Tzibur repeats the Amida and says sim shalom, he says, I have the custom to say Gimel Pesukim Elu, these three Pesukim, Altira, etc., etc. And he brings us the source, De Isa B'Midrash, as is recounted in the Midrash which we saw, She Mordechai Sholatinokos Shel Beis Rabbam Ba'amei Osku, when Mordechai encountered the children coming out of school, he asked them what they would be learning, and Omalei Kolechot, each of these children responded with the three verses that we've looked at. And he adds, Umotsasi Sheba Provancia Omrim Oson Bacholyom. Says the Taz, he mentions that the communities in Provence, in the south of France, that they have the minhag to say these verses every day. There's actually a chidor which also mentions this, but the chidor is the one that says that the minhag is to say it after Aleinu. Okay, those who say it in our communities, that's when it's written. So it seems that the origin of this minhag at least goes back as far as the 15th century and probably beyond that, in the Middle Ages and medieval times. And I'm thinking about it, and I wondered this. I haven't seen this in, proven or anything, but I wondered this. If you think of the Christian armies of the Crusades as they're passing through Europe, going through France and Germany, ostensibly going on to fight the Saracens, the Muslims, right? But also causing pogroms against the Jews all the way down, right? That was sudden terror. If you were a Jewish person living in one of these towns or villages, you were fearful of the Crusaders coming through. Because although you weren't the primary target, they attacked the Jews on the way down. And I wondered whether perhaps this is the reason why the communities of Provence are among the first to say Altirah, to incorporate that into their davening, because they were fearful the whole time. Next week, who knows what will happen? By the way, just as an aside, can anybody tell me how many complete manuscripts of the Talmud exist in the world today? This is the interactive bit. All right. Pardon? How many complete manuscripts of the Talmud exist today? Pardon? Handwritten manuscript. Pardon? Okay. Not one. Not one. Because when the Crusaders went through, and the Nazis did this as well, of course, when they destroyed Jewish communities, they took all the Sfarim, the books out of the shuls, and they burnt them in the marketplace. And that's why, when we've got a Vilna Shas, we don't know if it's exactly the correct version. But what we have is the Codex in Munich, and there's in Oxford University in the Bodleian Library, and there's, I think, some in America. There's also, and in the Vatican. I think there were incomplete manuscripts of the Talmud, and the publishers had to stitch this together to make it as complete a set of the Talmud as they could do. And I don't know if you're familiar with there's a sefer called Dikduke Sofrim, and what that is a critical text. So what they've done is they've taken all the variations, because on almost every page of the Talmud there's a word here or there which is different in different versions. And basically what they did was, if let's say there's 13 different versions, whichever is the most common, they took that to be the most authoritative, and that's how the Vilna Shas is produced. But there, you know, sometimes a change of a word here and there can actually make a big difference to how we understand that page of the Talmud. And we often see how the Rambam or the Rashi had a different Girasu in front of them. Anyway, just to sort of bring this to a close, so we've seen how Altira has filtered into our liturgy, seemingly for sort of random reasons, but we now understand that the source for this is in this midrash on Megillas Esther. And another thought I had, you know, this year we've got the USA and Israel, it seemingly poised to attack Iran, and knowing Bibi Netanyahu's sense of Jewish history, many of his speeches recently has been telling the Persians, we're your friends because we live together, and King Cyrus, Koresh, was good to the Jews, allowed the Jews to return to rebuild the temple. He's got a sense of Jewish history. And perhaps the Iranian regime, being the modern-day sponsor of terror, like Amalek, might be brought down this Purim. One wonders, because they seem to be hanging on, not doing anything. One wonders whether, you know, that's what they're hanging on for. What do I know? I'm just, everybody's got their own ideas on things. But anyway, I hope that illuminated something of the origin of this set. And maybe it's Kedai at this particular time, when especially our families in Israel potentially are in a situation of great danger, maybe it's a good idea to spend an extra few seconds at the end of davening to say Altira. Have a lovely day. Okay. Thank you so much.